Kids, you guys can go. Youth next door, kids upstairs. I used to break Patty's dishes and she would yell at me. That's funny. I'm happy to be here. As always, I love my church. I love being here and I love you guys. And the past few Thursdays, a lot of Thursdays, I think we started in August or July, we've had different speakers on a Thursday night, and nothing makes my heart more happy than watching other people use their gifts for God. And we have a lot of good, talented speakers in the house, and I've just been in awe hearing about it, because a lot of times I go next door, but I'll listen to the messages online, or I'll ask Pastor and Kathy, like, hey, what happened? You know, how'd everyone do? And it just, I love it. I love listening and seeing people use their gifts. And next week, Mrs. Jennifer Kapika is speaking. And then the week after that, Shandy's going to be sharing. And then the week after that, Dan Huntington will be sharing. I'm so excited. And then we got the lineup. Pastor Patty McDonald will be sharing the week after that. So we are hooked up in this church. Amen? Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about Jonah. Mission Possible. And before we get into it, we are going to read the whole book. It's all four chapters we are going to read. we're going to read the whole book. But I want you to think about this thought before we go into it. When God is in something, we can't stand in his way of getting it done. When God is in something, we can't stand in his way of getting it done. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for tonight. I thank you for who you are and just every person that's here. Open up our hearts to what you have for us. None of me and all of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jonah, Mission Possible. Who is Jonah? Jonah was a prophet back in the day. They didn't have news flashes on, you know, the TV. You couldn't send out a text or anything. And like Hector Santos we had last week, he was a prophet. Jonah was a prophet. He was God's messenger. And he was also a Hebrew. And everyone knew back in the day that if you were a Hebrew, you were a follower of God. And so here we have Jonah, God's messenger. And right in the very first chapter, Jonah receives the mission, is what I'm going to call it. He receives his mission. So as we go to Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 and two. And as I read this, if you can just imagine the background music of dun, 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 dun. Okay, so here we have the mission. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. We're just going to stop right there. Right there, Jonah receives his mission. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach. You see, Jonah was close enough to God to hear his voice. He knew what he was supposed to do. He heard God say, go. Here's your mission. Go. Do it. I'm calling you to go. I chose you to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah heard his mission. And so what that makes me realize is that God will choose whoever is available and whoever will listen to what he is saying. Whether we listen or not, that is up to us. Many are called, the Bible says, and few are chosen. I once heard it said that the chosen are the ones that answer the call. They're the ones that are listening to what God is saying. Those are the chosen. And so whether we listen to our mission, because every single one of us is put here with a mission. And so we have to be in tune with God to hear what that mission is. God is speaking. Are we listening? So here Jonah receives this mission. It was a big mission from God. Right off the bat, go. And so in verse 3, the mission was aborted already. So Jonah heard the mission, and then the mission was aborted. We're going to read verses 3 through 16. It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm rose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice on us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God in heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told him so. The sea was getting stronger and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down?" And he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." But instead, the men did their best to row back to land. They could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So here we have Jonah. I must have read that like 20 times in the past 5 days. Because here Jonah was called by God. He received his mission. And what does he do? He runs. He runs away. He ran from his mission. Why would a prophet of God run? And not only did he run, if you look at the map, he went to Joppa, I don't really know how to pronounce that, sorry. So there he was. Nineveh, I believe I read, was 500 miles away. Tarshish was 2,200 miles away. So he literally went the opposite direction of what he was supposed to go. He went the opposite direction. And so that just made me laugh, because how many times have we ever wanted to run? How many times have we ever wanted to run away from life, from where we were in the moment? I'm Pinterest. I love to pin things. And one of the quotes, if you're on Pinterest, you know, but one of the quotes that I always come across is, "Don't grow up, it's a trap." And that one just makes me laugh, because there's been times as a grown-up, I don't want to be a grown-up anymore. I just don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to pay my bills. I don't want to have to yell at my kids. I don't want to be responsible for anything, and I just want to run away. And so it's true. You know, I can understand why maybe Jonah would have ran. But I also think that sometimes when we hear from God, when we really receive and listen to our mission, we run. And why wouldn't we, right? It's a mission from God. He's calling us to do something. And I think maybe us, like Jonah, we turn around and we start to run in the exact opposite direction that God has asked us to go. So maybe here's some reasons why Jonah would have ran. And maybe you can relate to these reasons. The first one is maybe he was scared. The people of Nineveh, if you research that, they were bad people. They were bad. The book of Nahum describes them as a bloody city. They thrived off of war, off of killing people. And if you look back, you don't have to go back there, but where Nineveh is, it's right in the area of Iran and Iraq, which is kind of interesting, the whole generation thing. Yeah, it's crazy. So maybe he was scared because the people there, Nineveh, was a legit bad and evil place. So maybe he didn't want to go there. Or this one kind of goes along, but maybe he was scared of the people. Because those people was an enemy nation to God. So maybe proclaiming God's judgment to an enemy was a very daunting task. I would be scared out of my mind. I'd fear maybe I would die. What if, you know, these people don't receive what I'm saying? This is where you're calling me, God? Really? Or maybe he had a fear of failure. I mean, God chose him out of anybody else. I don't want to fail at what God has given me. Or, you know, maybe he just didn't want to. And this is the biggest one. We'll find that at the end. But he was human. Maybe he didn't think these people deserved God's mercy or his forgiveness. So he just didn't want to. But either way, God was with Jonah even when he was running. If you read in verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind." So the Lord was watching Jonah even as he was running away from him, even as he was fleeing in the opposite direction where he was supposed to go. God was still watching him. While it may appear that we can run to God, we're just fooling ourselves, because how many of you know that when we start to run from God, we're eventually going to run right into him? We're eventually just going to find him again, and we can save ourselves a whole lot of hassle if we just run to him instead. And when we run from God, it affects more people than just us. In Jonah 1:5, it says, "All the sailors were afraid." So Jonah's no to God didn't just affect Jonah. It affected all those people, sailors, on that ship. It didn't just affect Jonah, because our yeses and our noes have more power than we realize. What we say yes to and what we say no to affect way more people than just us. It has an effect on our families, our friends, who we come in contact with. So we have to be careful what we say yes to and what we say no to. God is in control of things, not us. And when we choose to disobey him, when we run, then you know what? We, like Jonah, we almost should expect those consequences to happen, unfortunately. Because the moment that Jonah went his own way, what happened? Things started to spiral downhill. From the moment those two words, "but Jonah." God said go, but Jonah ran. Three of the saddest words in this chapter, "but Jonah ran." God said go, but Jonah ran. And so what happened is, in my mind, just kind of crazy, right? He, in verse 17, says, there was a mission intervention, is what I'm going to call it. Because the Lord provided. Again, he provided. He was watching Jonah the whole time. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Three, crazy, right? So I'm thinking the Little Mermaid has nothing on Jonah. If you have kids, The Little Mermaid's coming out, and my daughter will be watching that movie, because she will be. And so I was thinking about The Little Mermaid, and the song that always comes to my mind is, "Look at this stuff, isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say my collection's complete?" So I was thinking, if I was Jonah, if I was in the belly of a whale, maybe I would be singing something like this. "Look at my life, I'm feeling beat. I ran from God, now I'm whale's meat. Wouldn't you know I'm a man who lost everything." Okay, thank you. So I was thinking, really, the mermaid has nothing on Jonah, because this is what would happen, right? Here he is in the belly of a whale. Like, what? What? I just cannot comprehend this. He must have stunk really bad, first of all. But something happened in the belly of the whale that Jonah did not get outside of the belly of the whale. Something happened inside of that belly, of that whale's belly. And we're going to read Jonah chapter 2. It says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened for my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And I pray, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love from them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you." Now check this out. "What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and he vomited Jonah onto dry land. There are times in our life that we feel just like Jonah, that we are in the belly of the whale. It's dark. It's cold. No one could understand. We're running. We're tired. We don't get it. And here we are in this whale, and we're like, God, what is going on? And we don't understand it. We're smelly. We're nasty. We're at the bottom. But here's what happens. Something, when we choose to, because people can either choose to get better or bitter in their situations. I met people that have been in the belly of the whale for so long, and they've not chosen to get any better. They've just stayed in the belly of the whale. But we can choose to get out of that belly, because the moment God said, I command the fish to vomit Jonah out, was right after Jonah said, what I have vowed, I will make good. So the moment we realize our mission and we accept it, then God says, okay, let's get moving. Let's go forward. Because something happens when you're in the whale. And you notice the Lord provided that whale. The Lord provided the whale. Jonah could have died in the sea, but God provided that protection. And sometimes what we're in the middle of, we don't see it as protection. We don't see it as God working inside of us. We don't see it as something good. But maybe sometimes God provides that very thing that we need so that we'll get on our knees, we'll start praying, and we'll realize the mission that He has for us. And the moment that we do, God spits us out and says, let's go. We're on dry land. We can do this now. And for some of us tonight, God's getting ready to spit you out because you're finally going to say, I accept my mission. I get it, God. I'm going to go now. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm not going to hide from you anymore. I'm not going to make the decisions that I used to make. I'm going to run towards you, and I'm going to stop running away from you. Yeah. Amen? So there he was on dry land. 3 days and three nights and a whale of a belly. Ugh. Nasty, smelly. So here we go. Jonah, chapter 3. So he went. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah's past had nothing to do with his future. It had nothing to do with it. Who he was in the belly of the whale, God said, okay, we're going to move on, and I'm going to give this to you again. Why? Because nothing can stand in the way of what God wants to do. Nothing can. So God gave Jonah the word again. And this time, Jonah obeyed the word. He saved himself a lot of problems. And he went to Nineveh. Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued. The king of this terrible, terrible city issued in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call on God urgently. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with his compassion and turn towards from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and he did not bring destruction on them. God did what he said he would do. God's mercy came through. God's mercy will always come through. And seriously, if I think about this, it took Jonah 3 days. Jonah must have had some skill, right, to talk to a people of that depth of evil in their mind. He had some skill to be able to go through the city, and people believed him. But the only reason why is because he was chosen by God. And so God relented. He came through. And then, so to me, if I was Jonah, I'd be like, yeah, okay, that wasn't so bad. You sent me, you called me, and the whole city was taken over, and they love you, and you had mercy, and you had compassion on them. But then there was a plot twist. Like the whole book of Jonah, like, just turns. And so it said, it says this in chapter 4, it says, but to Jonah, this seemed wrong. Now, how can God's messenger do what God says, and then God does what God says he would do, and then God's prophet was mad? I just want to shake Jonah at this point. Jonah said, but this seemed wrong to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah had gone out and sat underneath at a place east of the city. Then he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided, again, the Lord provided, even after Jonah's stinky attitude, Lord still provided for him a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give it a shade to over his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry with me? He said, it is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Can you just imagine this grown man pouting underneath a tree? I wish I were dead. God just used me to change a great city. I wish I were dead. Again, I want to shake him. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for a great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And that's where it ends. Instead of thanking God that he came through, he got mad. He said to God, who do you think you are? This is why I didn't want to go. Like, Jonah knew that God's mercy and his compassion would come through. And so that tells me right there that he was just a very stubborn man. And yet God still chose to use him, not once, but twice. And God still provided after Jonah got mad at him. God still loved Jonah because he could still see Jonah for the man that he created him to be. And God's mercy will always, 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 always come through. So here's some lessons that I learned from Jonah. Lesson number one, listen for your mission. God is always speaking. Lesson number two, saying no to God quickly leads to disaster. Lesson number three, don't run, because you'll eventually run right into him. Lesson number four, find God's grace and strength in the middle of your storm. When you're in the middle of the belly of the whale, find God. Number five, I'm not God. God can save whoever he wants. That's not up to me. I just have to do my part. I just have to do what he tells me. What he does, he's God. He's way more smarter and bigger than me. That's why I serve him, right? Lesson number six, realize God's mercy will always come through. And I needed a number seven because I didn't like number six, so don't pout. You look ridiculous. Okay. When we say yes to God, my final point, and his love for all people, he will stretch our hearts. It's unpleasant at times, especially when he asks us to love people who make us uncomfortable or who have hurt us. But the challenge will always bring our hearts closer to the heart of God. Amen. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for who you are. I just pray, God, that the mission that you have put inside of each of our hearts, though it may not be as drastic as Jonah's, you have all given us a mission. And I pray, God, that we would run to that, that we would know that you have given us the strength and the compassion to even give us the mission that you have given us, God. We thank you for believing in us, God, and for always providing for us during the different stages of our life exactly what we need. God, help us to run after it. Help us to go for our mission. And we just thank you for using every single one of us in every area of life that we are in, God. God, I pray for any prayer needs that are here tonight, God. You hear the cries of our hearts, God. I just pray that you give out answers. I pray, God, that you touch hearts tonight. And God, I pray that we would walk out of here knowing that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you guys. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. Hope to see you on Sunday.